Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to begin just learning out loud. Let's learn together. Let's take a little time in probably today's program and our next program to begin to you know, find out how did we get here? What happened? And the first thing I want to mention in this history lesson, you know, is just a couple days ago, we had 21 Christians, as you can see right here behind me, 21 Christians that were beheaded in Africa on the shores of Tripoli. Think about those words, the shores of Tripoli. Every Marine knows what I'm talking about. And we're going to find out, how did we get here, and what does that mean, and what is the picture here? And, you know, quite often when we talk about God nowadays, it's almost like they disassociate God from our day-to-day life. But I believe it was President George Washington who said that God is involved in the affairs of men. And when things start happening, it makes me think about, you know, Israel. When Israel was being brought in by God and the plans of God into a land that God had in store for them, he told Jericho, this is what I want you, he told Joshua, the first city you're going to fight is Jericho. And in that city, I'm gonna defeat that city for you. This is the strategy. You march around the wall 7 times. You shout, you blow the horns, the walls fall down, and that type of thing. But this whole first city is mine. Everything that comes in, that's first fruits, is mine in the land that I'm going to give you. But then each thereafter, you're going to get that the spoils of those wars after that. Well, there was one particular man that didn't understand the importance and the significance. When God says something, he means something. His name was Achan. And what he did was he took some of the stuff that belonged to God. He was not walking in obedience to God. Others were. One person wasn't. And so they go to Ai. You know, I believe that God tells them to take all their troops. He only sends 30,000 troops, thinking this is a real small city. And he got defeated. Israel got defeated, and they ran back in humility, to the point where, you know, the leader of the nation of Israel went, you know, fell on his face. You know, Joshua, who loves God and was faithful, you know, to the Lord all these years, he said, he's just crying out to God. And he says, God, why are these weird things happening? Why are we losing this battle, a small city? We just beat Jericho. We're a great, I mean, you're with us. And this is what God said. Somebody's got my stuff. I told you this is what you're supposed to do. I told you that. Somebody didn't do it. Get off your face, quit crying, and find out what's going on. Begin to let people know what I said I mean and what I mean I say. And what he did was he began to have to go through everybody there to find out, listen, this is the truth. The first fruits belong to God. And it's not about finance. It's not about money. It's about if God said it, that's the fact. And, you know, we think about today, it's not about getting smarter or learning new battle strategies or trying to figure out, you know, what kind of treaties we need to make with other nations to get through this. We got to go back to the root of the problem, and we're going to talk about what is the root. Let's go to the historical root. How do we get here, and why are these small little battles being lost? Why are we losing our schools? Why are we losing our economy? Why are we losing our borders? Why are we, I mean, all the things that are happening, it's like, I think God is trying to speak to us. The enemy doesn't have one up on God. God's speaking to us through this, and God was speaking to Joshua and Israel through their defeat in Ai. It wasn't over. He was speaking to them through that. And we have to listen. When we start losing small battles and we're thinking, how could this be? This doesn't even make sense. We got to start back and think, dear Lord, what did you tell us? Are we doing what you told us to do? Because just the other day, as you're looking at, 21 Christians were beheaded on the shores of Tripoli. Our president sent back the bust of Winston Churchill, one of the first things he did when he got into office. What does this mean? What are all these different, the apology tour that where our president went around to all these different nations and apologized for the behaviors and the manners and all the things that we've done in the world. And I'm thinking, well, maybe we've done some bad things. But when I went back and looked at history, I'm thinking like, my goodness, America's been a real good country. Based on comparison of what's going out there, we've always empowered people. And so we're going to go on this little history tour today to find out, what does all this mean? What is the significance of it? And what is God saying to us? You know, God, what is God saying to us? Instead of us going like, oh, you know, it's the AIites, and the AIites are going to destroy us, and oh, that it's Islam, and Islam's going to hurt us, or it's, you know, political parties, and they're going to hurt us. We as God people, us God's people, we know, we go, hey, you know, God's in control. There's nobody greater than God. It's him that we go to, and we say, Lord, what is going on? What's taking place in the world today? Help us understand. And if we have something that's yours, if we're not walking in obedience to you, if that's what you want, Lord, touch our hearts, and we'll begin to do that so that you can give us the land that you promised us. Well, you know, what is taking place? What is taking place in the world today? And as I begin to just spend time with the Lord and kind of hear what was going on, you know, first thing he began to just kind of speak to me about was about, of course, Jericho and AI. When you think about Jericho and AI, when you think about, you know, what happened there was, you know, Joshua went and came out of the wilderness and with the plan of God to be able to take the property of God to do these things. And he said, listen, this is what I want you to do for the first city. The first city is actually mine. And so everything you get from it, it's going to be mine. And so God gave him this strategy, this plan to be able to do that. And he followed it. Everybody there followed it except one particular man. One particular man, you know, don't tell me that one person can't affect the outcome of what's taking place in a ministry, in a business, in a family. I don't care if it's a child, a spouse, or whatever. One, you can determine if bad things are going to happen by what you're allowing to take place in your life. And so he disobeyed God and took what was God's. And this is so important because right now we're seeing, and when he did that, so then they go fight a small battle after Jericho, a little small battle. And right now we're seeing so many small battles lost in America. I'm thinking, you know, this is crazy. How in the world could all these this greatest military and the strength and the intelligence and it's like, oh, wait a minute. God is the one. God is the one who gives us victories. And if we're not walking with God, then he ain't going to give us victories. And if we're dishonoring God, he's not going to give us victories. And the big thing, too, if the church is not walking with God, I mean, now we're talking about everybody in America, but the church in America. And so when they went to go fight this small battle, because you think, man, we had World War One and we defeated the enemy in World War One. We defeated the enemy in World War Two. We became the strongest nation and the strongest economy after World War Two. I mean, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And God goes, it's you, right? And it's like, oh, my goodness. And we're seeing now a decline in victories. But it's not, you know, it wasn't over for Israel. It was so important. You had to learn the lesson. I mean, here's this man who did what was right before God. You know, Joshua was just an awesome dude, you know. But yet, it didn't matter how good of a leader he was. God told him to get off his face, quit crying about this, and go find out who has my stuff. In other words, obedience matters to God.
Yeah.
And there's been a gospel, that word means good news, so there's been stuff being preached. I mean, doctrines of demons, if you would, because if it's not of God, then it's producing demonic things. Mm-hmm. But I look at this. I look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, you know, and he says very specifically, that we have an obligation to God. It's an obligation we have to God. Did you know that? Do you hear anybody telling you that you're obligated to God? No, this is what you hear people saying. God's obligated to you. But you're not hearing the fact that you're obligated to God. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to our sinful nature, live according to it. For if we live according to it, we're going to die. But it's for us to live in accordance with or the lead of God's Spirit in our life. So if God says, you know, the first fruits of his mind, we just honor him in that. And then you think about, you know, Jesus said, imitate me. He said, imitate me, right? And so in Hebrews 5, he says in verse 7, he says, during the days of Jesus' life, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. This is Jesus crying out in tears. And how many people are like, I don't want any pain in my life. I don't want anything that causes me to cry. Something's dysfunctional because I'm going through a hard time. God must not be with me.
Right.
Like God was never with Jesus. Come on. And so with fervent cries and tears, he cried out to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard
Not because he was the son of God. He was her because of his reverent obedience, his submission to God. So through, for though he was a son, he goes on to say, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And so we have to understand that, you know, we're going through some stuff, tough times right now. And it, you know, it's going to be probably a bit worse, but it's going to get better if we learn the lessons. He learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made complete, he became a source for eternal salvation for all of those who believe. And you think about this. You think about, you know, that America became a source. It became a source for the gospel. It became a source to bring hope and freedom and just so many good things, the breadbasket and food. It became a source, but because it was we're a Judeo-Christian nation, that our founders, though flawed, and every man's flawed, you know, all of our righteousness is a filthy rags. But understand this, because God was the center of it, God was the center of America. It's a Judeo-Christian nation that all of our laws come from the Mosaic type laws when you look at them in Proverbs and all those things, biblical laws. That in that, God honored that when we honored God. And so we want to come back. We want to find out, how does that take us to the shores of Tripoli with 21 Christians being beheaded and a president who doesn't even acknowledge that they're Christians? We stated in a previous program I did that he called them Libyan citizens, and that's a mistake. He actually called them Egyptian citizens. But the point I was trying to make was he didn't call them Christians. Welcome back. We're going right to understanding this piracy that was going on. Remember, pirates. It's not like the movies make it out to be. Americans were forcing our third president, President Thomas Jefferson, to go deal with this piracy because their sons and their daughters and their husbands and fathers were being taken by the Barbary Coast pirates there. They demanded $666 million from America in tribute, but all we have was like $440,000 to deal with, according to archives. They took ships called the Maria. They took the Dauphine. And they were just demanding money from us. As a matter of fact, you can see right here at number 186. This is us paying tribute. This is a captain. It's 186. This is a captain paying tribute right here to Islam. Understand, this is not a wrong thing in the mindset of Islam. This is something they see as normal.
Yeah. Well, reports are that's why James Foley and others were wanting to get tribute. They were wanting to get payment. It's something that Europe had been doing for some time, paying millions of dollars for hostages.
Right, and it's called tribute. So they also talk about in 1795, you know, Algeria came to an agreement to resulted in 115 American sailors that they held. This particular agreement, they said that they would release them for over $1 million. Mm. And that amount totaled 1/6 of the entire U.S. budget. That's what they wanted.
Wow.
And it's like, this is real, folks. This is history. And so you know, we had to begin to deal with those things that are going on. So when you see those Christians, you know, when we're 185, you can say it one more time in 185 right there. You're seeing these are Christians, and that person with the whip is a Muslim that's holding them as slaves, which they say, you know, is something that you can do according to their religion. And so America wasn't the first one to make that mistake. It's like Islam needs an apology tour to America. So it states, though, in history that what they did was they wanted to declare war against America. So what they did, they went to the place of America's embassy there, and they cut down the flagstaff in a Barbary-type manner of doing that. And that was them declaring war, even though it was an official declaration. But the difference is, instead of cutting the flagstaff off, even though you're looking at our Ambassador Chris Stevens being killed there, they cut the heads of Christians off at the shore of Tripoli. That's a declaration of war, by the way. Mm. And now you're starting to hear people say, I mean, you even hear Chris Matthews saying, this is like a religious war. And I'm like, day late, dollar short. I mean, we're already into this thing. It looks like they have a plan to come against America and against the world. And so we're learning about what's taking place here. And so we had to develop our own security, since we actually declared our independence about that time. So the French no longer was going to be our Navy force. And so the question is too, you know, why did we, so now you know why we have a Navy. Islam forced us to have a Navy, be able to defend our trade that's going on out there. And But it's there's something to say by Barton. What's Barton's first name? David Barton?
David Barton.
Yeah, he writes in Wall Builders. I think it's pretty interesting what he says about this. He talks about, you know, Christians should never be fearful of any other religion. After all, if an individual has chosen Christianity, it is because he believes it's superior to all others. He, therefore, should never be threatened by a religion that he personally considers weaker than the one he practices. Mm-hmm. In fact, if Christians fear the power of other religions over the power of their own, then they are in the wrong religion. Mm. A Christian's confidence in his own religion and his confidence that God will cause the truth to prevail when presented should cause him not to exclude religious competition, but rather to embrace the competition as America historically has done in the free market approach to religion. It's like, hey, bring your gods. Like Elijah said, let's see who's God.
Let's see.
I mean, if you pull out a sword when we're talking about it, it's different, right?
Right.
But Rabbi Lappin, you remember Rabbi Lappin, with the Jewish Policy Center says, God help Jews in America. God help Jews in America. God help Jews if America ever becomes a post-Christian secular society. Just think of Europe, he says. Mm. The fact that secularism is more dangerous to society than any other specific religious faith is statistically verifiable. For example, even though tens of millions of lives have been lost at the hands of numerous religious faiths over the past 2,000 years, and almost all those at the hand of Islam, the number of lives lost at the hands of secular governments, just in the 20th century alone, is many times greater. For example, there were 62 million people killed by Soviet communists. There was 35 million people killed by Chinese communists. There was 1.7 million people killed by Vietnamese communists. There was 1.6 million in the Polish ethnic cleansing. There was 1 million by the Yugoslavia when they were killed in Yugoslavia, and there's 1.7 million in North Korea that were killed. Furthermore, the number of deaths perpetuated by individual secular leaders, government leaders, these are governments. Mm. This is what you need to worry about. Don't worry about Islam. Worry about the government that's using Islam to be able to get their way. For example, just individuals. Joseph Stalin was responsible for 42.7 million being killed. Mao Tung of China was responsible for 37.8 million. Hitler was responsible for 20.9 million. Vladimir Lenin was responsible for 4 million. Pol Pot of Korea, he was responsible for the Khmer Rouge, responsible for 2.4 million. And on and on and on. Significantly, secularism killed more in one century, John, than did any other religion combined in the 20th century. Listen, this religion's being used by these leaders like Pol Pot, like Mao Zedong, by like Lenin, and like, you know, it's being used, and the enemy's going to be evil government that comes in and begins to kill millions of people if we don't wake up. We're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have to decide, are we going to be under God, or are we going to be under government? If we're under God, government's under us. If we're under government, then government's over us. We have to make up our mind. Is the government by the people and for the people? We're just learning what's going on right here. Islam's just being used, even if they don't even know they're being used to be able to cause people to say, listen, give up, take my freedoms, take all my liberties, you know, mine all my data, forget the Fourth Amendment, forget the First Amendment, forget the Second Amendment, just protect us. And then you have things come in like Pol Pot when he said, day one's today and God is dead. Mm. And he began to kill and kill and kill. Find out more on the Pink Room. We talked about the Pink Room. Understand this. This is a strategy of the adversary, but we're finding out about it so we can repent. We can say, God, I'm starting to understand now why we're losing at AI. These are simple battles. But the truth is, you're the one that gives us victories. We need to turn back to you. So I want to encourage you. This is what the Lord says. When these things happen, when I send these plagues amongst you, when all of a sudden a sword is being fashioned against you, he said, if you, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven. He'll stop this disaster and he'll heal our land. I want to pray with you right now. Now that we just kind of beginning to understand this in this conversation. Father God, I thank you for letting us, giving us insight. We thank you, Lord, that you are God and you're greater than all these other things and all this stuff out here, Lord. And we just thank you. We come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Lord, I pray for our audience right now, Lord, as we're beginning to understand, I bought into all this garbage and how religion is being used to organize our nation. But Lord, you want us to be up under you, led by your spirit. We are obligated to you, Lord God, to obey you and to follow you, Lord God. And I pray for every lie to be pulled down, God. I pray for truth to rise up, God. I pray for men and women to be men and women, Father God, of God, to begin to raise up and say, you know what? We can stand again for God and this country and Israel, Father God. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray a blessing and peace over each of our listeners and viewers and our partners, Father God, in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.